Every week here on KNKX, we tell stories from around the Northwest on our show, Sound Effect. That's where we get our next story. Sound Effect host Gabriel Spitzer can tell you more.
We head to the coast to Oysterville, Washington, about 15 miles from Long Beach. It used to be a big center of, surprise, oyster farming. It's a tiny town with an even tinier church, but this church has a very long history in Washington as a little seaside haven.
My great-grandfather was the co-founder of Oysterville in 1854.
That's Sidney Stevens, great-granddaughter of R.H. Espy. And he didn't just help create this town, he also built its church, the same church he's sitting in right now, called the Historic Church of Oysterville.
He was a staunch Baptist. The Baptists began meeting early on, as early as 1863, but they met in whatever the largest home was. And by the time when Espy built his house, that was the most commodious home in Oysterville, and so the Baptists met there. And I think he finally just got tired of that, and he donated $1,500 and this piece of land for the building of the church. The big deal was to have a baptismal font indoors.
A baptismal font, just in case you don't know, is a big round basin that holds water so you can do baptisms inside rather than having to use an outdoor body of water.
So the first service was held, I think, in November of 1892, and there was one baptism that was, they were ready to baptize, and I think it was actually the preacher's daughter. So the service takes place, the baptism is done. The women later come back to clean up the church and discover that there was no drain in the baptismal font. And so they had to bucket brigade all the water out. And there was never another baptism held in the church. They went back to the bay, which I love.
This was in 1892, about 38 years after the founding of Oysterville. And while the town had a new church, the oysters had started to become scarce. The prosperity receded and the town started to get very quiet. But the church kept its doors open.
And they had two or three different preachers that came. But it was like now. It's not everybody that wants to live here on the coast in, you know, this rural area. And it was the same in 1890s. And so it was hard to keep preachers. Then we have a ghost, and she was the wife of a very questionable preacher that came here, she drowned in the bay, and they tried to get the preacher for an inquest, but he split with another man's wife.
The 1930s saw the last regular services at the church, and by the time the 50s rolled around, the church was rarely used. It fell into neglect. Then in the 60s, Sidney Stevens' mother started digging around, and she found something out.
The deed to the property and the building was that if the church did not continue to be used on a regular basis after X number of years, I don't know, 10 years or something, it would revert to the family.
So that's what happened. And in 1981, the Stevens family had the church rededicated and then gifted it to the Oysterville Restoration Foundation. In fact, the entire town of Oysterville is on the National Historic Register. It has been restored, although it still has no electricity or plumbing, just a little potbelly furnace for heat where the baptismal font used to be. There are hardwood floors, 8 rows of wooden pews, 2 pump organs, and a piano. But in the 125 years that the church has been open, one thing has been consistent.
In all of that time, I don't think that, you know, it never occurred to anybody to lock the door.
That's right. Visitors have been able to come and go as they please 24 hours a day for over a century.
When I see the door, somebody's left the door open, I trudge across the street and close it or whatever.
The guest book in the foyer suggests that the church sees about 10,000 visitors a year, from as close as a couple of miles away to recently as far as Iceland. Despite being open at all hours, the church rarely gets a nighttime visitor. Again, no electricity inside, and Oysterville doesn't even have any streetlights. Sidney Stevens says that vandalism over the years has been pretty minimal, And she says that it's far more likely that somebody leaves a gift rather than takes something.
Yeah, there was no bathroom facility, and occasionally people would, you know, complain a little bit about that. And then one day in the poor box, in the donation box, there was a $500 check with a note from someone. And she said, this is toward the outhouse that you need to have in the back. And eventually we do now have a kind of a fake outhouse, and it's a shell around a Santa can.
If you visit Oysterville today, you can still find fresh oysters. And Stephen says that the church and the parsonage across the street that she now lives in are just as synonymous with the history of this town as the oysters are.
Okay, in one way, it symbolizes Oysterville to me. In a way, both the church and the house, even more so, are like members of my family. I often think, how would I feel if something dire happened to this building? And I don't know, it would be like losing a member of your family, really. So, you know, they say you shouldn't be so concerned about physical things. But, you know, the church is almost beyond a physical thing to me. It has it's not only a symbol of a spiritual arena of life, but it has a personality.
Sydney Stevens lives in Oysterville. To see pictures of the Oysterville Church, you can go to our website, knksoundeffect.org. And thanks to Damian Molinix for his reporting on this story. Mm-hmm.